Hallelujah. Do what?
You know what I'm doing, Jesus. I never thought I'd have did it either, but I did. Now, I don't think I'd get up in front of a big crowd and do it, you know. But
when we get 200?
Now, if you get 200, I'll...
We're going to have 200 in full month.
I hope so.
Right.
If we get 200, I'll do a lot of hollering.
Well, I can't sing, but I can make an offer.
I might not do much singing, but I'll do some shouting.
Oh, me.
That'd be a shouting time,
wouldn't it?
It would that. Oh, me, it would that.
Shepherd, join me on that, wouldn't you, Shepherd?
What?
Shouting if we got 200.
I would if I got 200.
Well, hallelujah. I think I can go ahead and bribe 200. Come here.
Huh? We got 50 of them. Mm-hmm. That's still shouting.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we ain't got far to go for 50. We got 36.
I did try to carry one to my pocket.
We got 36 here tonight.
Right.
Some of y'all look at me and be like, he's crazy. I know that. Oh, me. I know I'm crazy. But I tell you one thing, I'm going to have a good time while I'm here. The Lord says that we can have a good time. Because he didn't tell me at all, I need to come to church. When I come to church, I need to put on it, what they call it, the...
Persimmon
face? The pooch mouth or whatsoever. Like he frowning.
Persimmon.
Uh-uh. Not me. Because it takes too much energy. All right. Well, let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. When we get through with it. The book of Ephesians, I'm thinking very seriously about taking the book of Revelation. I know it's the book that a whole lot of people don't want to hear, but I think it's needful for today and the time that we're approaching too. So before we go any further, I'm going to ask you, does anybody here tonight have a special request upon your heart?
Would you bury family and my neighbors across the street?
Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah, still praying for my sister and my sister-in-law's brother. They had to put him back in Duke's Hospital. He's really, really, really bad off.
Okay. And any, yeah, Brother William. Yeah, okay.
I thank the Lord for y'all's prayers for me and all. And I just feel so much better than I did Sunday. I tell you, I was awful sick Sunday, but thank the Lord, I feel better tonight.
Amen.
I give him all the credit.
Yep. Amen. All right, anybody else? I have some special requests. It's on my heart. God knows all about it. And Brother James Albert was supposed to go into and have surgery in the morning, but they put it off, and I think he's got to go Tuesday morning. Yeah, because it was one of his medicines that he was taking that they were supposed to tell him to stop ahead of time within 5 days of surgery, and they didn't tell him, so he, that's the reason he's having to put it off to Tuesday. But and that's his surgery on his shoulder. And there's a bunch of others that needs prayer. And we just need to remember them. And Brother Lawrence Morris, need to remember him and his wife in prayer. I was talking to him first part of the week, and he was just telling me that, you know, remember him and his wife in prayer, and I said we would, so. Anyone else? We'll go to the Lord in prayer. All right, if none else, well, how about an uplifted hand all around? All right. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that where we can be back in thy house this evening. Thank you, Father, for your touch upon each one of us to where we would be here tonight. And Father, I know it's other things that we could have been doing, Father, but we come tonight. And Father, just hearing something from heaven, because Father, the things that we hear about, I hear in the world, Father, it does not bring comfort to us. And Lord, I pray, Father, you'll strengthen us and be with us continually each and every day. Now, Father, we pray for each one of the ones that come out tonight. Lord, you know the burden on their heart. And Father, you know every hand and every heart that was lifted up tonight. And Father, for the requests that they have upon their heart, we ask, Father, you give them the very desire that they have. And Father, because I believe in that they want to be able to honor you and trust you, Father. And they want your son to be lifted up and honored. And Father, we thank you for the ones that's here tonight. And we ask God that you'll just be with them through this evening. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll give me that fresh anointing from on high, God. Father, that I can be able to read your scripture, and Father, in hearing the voice from heaven today. And God, I want to thank you for what you're going to do here at Faith Baptist Church. Father, we're looking and we're expecting great things to come. And Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that you can do it. We believe you. And Father, we know that you will, and we're thanking you ahead of time. And we're thanking you ahead of time for all the other people that's going to start coming in. I do not know when. Doesn't make no difference. I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed. Now, Lord, we just turned it over to you, and we know, Lord, that you're going to do, Father, your work. But we have to allow you to do your work. And we have to do your work as we go out and as we visit among people. So, Father, bless these people tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior tonight. Amen and amen. Here in chapter 2 in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and start with verse 13. And it says this right here, this is Paul writing, and it's amazing how you can get in the book, and you don't have to know, you don't even have to look at who the author is of the book. All you have to do is just read it. And that right there can automatically tell you who wrote the book. because of Paul. And because of the way Paul felt toward the Lord and what he wanted to do for the Lord and what he wanted other people to do for the Lord. But here in verse 13 it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandment contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." We know right here that he spoke of several different things right here. Paul, he spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's spoken about the blood that the Lord has shed for us. And not only that, he has also spoken about the wall of partition had been torn down, had been done away with, to where we don't have to go before no priest. We don't have to go before no man or nothing to get to God and ask God to help us. We can go straight to the throne room of God. We can go straight there with boldness. And as we go with boldness, we must, I believe in what he's saying there, over there in, I think it's in the book of Hebrews, speaking about going to the Lord Jesus and going to him in prayer with boldness. And I believe what he's talking about there, when he talks about boldness. I believe he's talking about that what we must do, we must name the individual, name the people that needs the prayer, that needs the request, and the where we can look to them and where we can help them, because that's the only way we can be able to help them today, is through prayer. And if we pray for them, if we mention their name, then there is a likelihood that we will go and visit them and talk to them and just let them know that we are a friend to them. Because the Lord Jesus Christ once became a friend to us. He became our friend before we ever knew him. He became my friend when I did accept him as my Lord and Savior. But up until that point, I myself didn't think I had no friends. But he called me his friend. Now that's over there in the book of John, chapter 15, I believe it is. John chapter 15 and verse 12, 13, and 14. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." This right here is before the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friend. He didn't know who I, about where I, yeah, he knew who I was, but at that time, I wasn't even born. My mother wasn't even born. My grandmother wasn't even born then. But he knew that one day that Donald Mahan would be here on earth. That's the reason he said right here, he called me his friend. He called you his friend. We was all friends to him. That's what he says. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. He laid his life down for his friends. If we could just take that right there, one verse right there, and just look at that, and we just take and grasp that and take that and just look at it and just mull it over in our brain and everything, we can understand where he's coming from. We can understand where the church come about. We can understand where all the other things has happened. Why? Because he done all these things for who? For his friends. He went to Calvary and hung on the old rugged cross for his friend. For his friends is who he went for. Not only did he do that, his mother was there, John was there, Joseph and all of them were there. And they had laid him in a barred tomb. He did not even have a place that he could call home. He didn't have a place where he could lay down his head. The birds and the fire and the doves and all of them, they had a place. They had a nest where they could go and they could fly to, and they could kind of scooch up in there and everything, and they could say, hey, I'm home now. But he didn't even have a home. Why didn't he? Because see, if he had a home, then people like here that has no home today, some people that's sleeping under the bridge, some people out here is sleeping in cardboard boxes, they would not believe if we told him, if we told them about him. But see, that's the reason he didn't have a home. That's the same reason that when Mary and Joseph, when Mary went to give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ, and when they come by the end there, they had no idea that they was going to have to go to a cow stall. And they was going to have to use the trough where they fed the animals from. No, he went up to the door of the inn and he knocked on the door. And he come out and he asked them, he says, can we help you? And he probably said, yes, sir, you can. I've got a lady which is not my wife, but she's a child bearing. We need a place for her to where she can go and lay down and get some rest. He says, sir, I'm sorry, but we fool. We don't have no rooms for you. I mean, he would have settled for just a room in there where they gathered just around the fireplace or the stove or whatever. He would have settled for that. See, they didn't offer him that. They said, we just don't have no room for y'all. And evidently he must have asked them, he said, well, where can we go and get out of the weather? He said, well, you can go right down here. And it's a cattle barn down there. You can go in there and you can get in out of the weather. See, if Jesus had been born in an inn, people is living out here under the circumstances that they under today, with no job, nothing else. They said, well, I don't need him. He don't know my condition. Yes, he does. He's been there. He's been exactly where they've been. It's nothing that we go through that the Lord Jesus Christ has not been through first. And when he went through it, he knew what it was all about. That's the reason I believe that he called us his friend. Because that's who we are. We was his friend. I want a friend to him. I didn't look to him as a friend. I didn't know him. But see, he knew me. Even after I was born, he knew me. He knew me and he still called me his friends. He knew you and he still called you his friend. I don't know of anybody else that would do that. I don't know of anybody else that would call me their friend if they knew some of the things that I've done in the past before I got saved. No, they wouldn't call me their friend. They wouldn't even look upon me. They wouldn't even speak to me because of things that I've done in the past. But see, of everything that I've done, he still considered me his friends. That's the reason he laid his life down. That's the reason he gave us peace. That's the reason I can stand here tonight and say that I have all kind of peace, and the peace is in my heart. I am concerned about people. I'm concerned about so many people today that thinks that they're okay. They done been to church. They done come to the altar and all that. And they have come and yes, and they've prayed and they said that they got saved and everything. And they come to church for a little while. And then they get out. I'm concerned about them. Did they truly get saved? I don't know. But I'm concerned. I'm concerned that they may not be saved. I'm concerned about the church, because the church is falling away, and it's not because of us, and it's not because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of Satan. It's because of the devil. He's got the devil has got the individual blinded to the truth. So we don't you remember when you went to the altar? You went up and you prayed. And you asked the Lord to save you. Yeah, but why do I feel this way? Satan has come back and tell him again. He said, well, it's just you're going through some hard times now. He can come up with any kind of excuse and let you know about the excuse where you'll realize what he's talking about. And yes, and we can leave and we can think it's the whole time that it's of the Lord. Did you realize that a whole lot of things that we do, we blame Satan for it, when Satan nowhere around, where he is not the one that caused us to do that? Who caused us to do that? Ourselves. We know better. I know better. I know better than to go out here and say, I'm not going to go back to church Sunday. I know better than that. I know what the scripture tells me. I know that I'm supposed to be in God's house on Sunday if I'm not working, or if I'm not in the hospital, or if I'm not, my body is laying in a casket somewhere, or if I'm not at home sick. I'm supposed to be here. That's one of the obligations that I made unto the Lord, that I'm supposed to be in his house. And I made that obligation to him years ago. When I stepped forward there at Brush Arbor, and when I came that night before the pastor of that church at that time, and I told him I would like to join the church. And he asked me, he said, are you going to be faithful to the church? Yes, sir. Are you going to tithe to the church? Yes, sir. I made that promise then, right that moment, to God Almighty. I didn't make it to that pastor. I made it to God, first of all. Then I made it to the pastor. Then I made it to the church. So it won't be just letting down the Lord Jesus and letting God down. I was letting down the pastor. I was going to let down the church. I was going to let them all down because I was not able to keep the truth. I wasn't able to take the stand that I had committed to. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend. Ye are my friends. Ye are. He's saying you, plural, are his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servant, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friend, for all things have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. He said, I'm calling you. I want you. I didn't go to him to get saved. He came to me. He wanted me. He wanted to save me, but I had to also do my part. I had to ask him to save me. And I don't know why people today just don't want to just fall in love with him and serve him. Because I tell you, there's no other joy, there's no other feeling that an individual can ever receive outside of serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. Says, ye have not chosen me. I ain't choose him. What does it say? But I have chosen you and ordained you. He says, I have chosen you. I've chose you from the very first. Oh, in the book of Genesis, before the book was even wrote, before the Lord God ever created earth, he had chosen us to do his work. The Lord Jesus, he done a great work when he was here on earth. He himself knew that he had to have some help. That's the reason he created Eve for Adam. He knew Adam would not survive. The men today, if it wasn't for the wives, the men could not survive today. Because I do not know of a man that can go and outwork a lady. I don't care how strong you are, how muscular they are, or nothing. They cannot outdo a man, a woman. They cannot. Why? Because God gives the lady, and the wife of the family, giving them something special. Where they can go out and they can do, and they don't complain about it. My wife has never really complained about nothing, as far as even when she was working. She'd work from 8 until 5 o'clock. I'd go pick her up when I got off of work. We'd go home and I'd go in and get a shower. What did she do? She went over and she started fixing the supper. What did she do then? After she got supper on, then she started the washing machine up. Then she started on the house, cleaning the house. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do them things. And you say, well, yes, you could if you'd have tried. I tried. And she come to find out, and I come to find out, that really, even if I even tried, I'd really put more on her than what she needed. But I have chosen you, that ye should go and bring forth what? Soul. Fruit. Anytime the book is talking about fruit, right here, it is talking about us going out and being a witness. Being a witness and telling somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. For the last couple, 2 or 3 days, I've really been praying hard. And I've told the Lord, I've asked the Lord to help me with this. I said, Lord, you know my heart. You know what I want to do. You know that I want to get back to driving. I want to get back to going out here doing some visiting. I never have been the one to sit around at the house all day long and not do anything. I always had something else going on. Even when I was working and I would be going out and preaching, I would always have something else still going on during the week. I'd be putting a roof on for somebody. I'd be building cabinets for somebody. I'd be building something. I wanted to stay busy. But that's where all the peace comes from. The peace comes from staying busy for the Lord. And I said that one time, I said, you know, I said, Lord, I said, please allow me to go somewhere. Touch me. Tell me where to go, Lord, and I'll go. I want to go. He said, well, you're just going out to the shop. You're going out there and you start building. I'd build cabinets. I'd build hutches. I'd build bookshelves and everything. And I'd go and I'd talk to people about building stuff like that, what they wanted. Had some people say, well, yeah, I want a bookshelf and I want, on the bottom two shelves, I want a door there. But now, I don't want nothing fancy. You can go ahead and buy some cheap lumber and build it. I says, I can't do that. She said, you mean you won't build it for me? I says, no, ma'am, I will not build it out of cheap lumber and have people ask you where it come from. Because what I am doing, I am representing what I do. It's the same thing in doing the Lord's work. I'm representing the Lord. And I want what I do I want to do it the very best I can do. I don't want no cheap Bible or cheap clothes or something like that, or just something to whack and go out there. I want something to where I can go and I'm not ashamed of going for the Lord. I had a man one time tell me, and I knew him better than most people because I worked with him there for a while. But after he got saved, he started going to church and everything. And he was telling me that one day, he's, you know, he said, if I come to your church or whatever church I go in, I'll leave work on Wednesday evening and I'll go straight to church. I don't change clothes, don't take no shower, nothing. He had time to go home and take a shower. He had time enough to go home and put on some decent clothes because he had them. I know he had them because I have seen them. But now, he says, these bib overhauls that I wear, they're just as good enough for the Lord as in a three-piece suit. And he's right, it is. But I will say this, and I did ask him this. I says, now, I want to ask you something. I says, if you met a lady and y'all fell in love and y'all got engaged. I says, now, how would you go dressed at your wedding? He says, I go like I am. I said, you would? He said, yeah. I says, that's not Bible teaching. The Bible teaches that we must, when we come into God's house, that we must come in with what we got as the very best. Because when that bride comes in, what is that bride gonna come in with a black dress on? If they've been married two or three times, they should, but for the first time, no. But when they come in, what do they got on? They got on white. What white really means is means purity. That's what it means. That they have saved their life for this gentleman that they are about ready to marry. But they come in the very best that they had. Yes, and they probably went out and maybe spent $1,000 for a wedding dress. I don't know. Or $2,000. But they need to feel like when they come to the house of God, that they come in here for a bigger reason than going to work or going home. They come in here, and people need to realize when they come to the house of God that they come in and wanting to hear something from heaven. They come in to be enlightened of the word. They come and want to know more about God and know more about the Lord Jesus Christ and know more about the Holy Spirit. I know that I'm not the preacher or that I should be. I know that. I know that I'm not the teacher that I should be. I don't know the scripture like I should. But I don't worry about that no more. I did that one time. It worried me to death. It really did. Because I didn't know the scripture. I could read it and I didn't understand it. I could reread it and still didn't understand it. I could reread it and still didn't understand it. Until that situation, I was facing it one day. And I got and read it, and I understood it then. I didn't need to understand it back then. But I needed to then. Just like today, I was in my study there, and I don't know. I don't know if any of y'all ever do it or not. I don't know if any of y'all ever have a little pity me party. But every now and then I'll have a little pity me party. I think it's good for people to have a little pity me party every now and then. I think it's good for us. Because then we'll realize some things. But this afternoon, I was in my study. And I'd been reading, and I'll get on the computer and I'll look up something and everything, and then I'll just be on the computer just doing this and that. But when I'm on it, when I do just this and that, I get to thinking. My mind gets to wandering about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got to thinking about the friend this afternoon. And as I did, I realized some things that at that time I was having a pity me party because of it looked like everything, anytime I went to the doctor, I was getting a bad report from the doctors. It wasn't nothing good. It was always something bad. And I said, Lord, I know that I've had a pity me party this week. And today, because I'm not getting no good news from the doctors anymore. But I need some good news from you. This is what he said to me. It's what he spoke to me about. You just remember what you're going through now. Remember what you're going through now. Because it's not going to be long where you're going to be able to have to share your experience with someone else that's going through the same situation. Up until this happened to me, I couldn't tell nobody anything about it. Only thing I could tell them, I said, I'd pray for you. That's all I could say. I couldn't say, well, I know what you're going through. I don't know what you're going through. I never have went through that. Just like today, just like someone else today could have some other problem.
like they just had a heart attack or something like that. I can't go to them and say, well, I understand and I know what you're going through, but you need to do this and you need to do that. I can't do that. I can't tell them that because I've never been through it. We have to wait on the Lord and allow the Lord to do what He wants to do with us. And that's where the peace comes in. That's where the peace of God comes in. Says, for He is our peace. For He is our peace. Who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There was a wall there between me and the Lord there for so many years. But I think what Paul is telling me right here, and is telling us, is that we have to be the first one that's willing to go forth and to help bring that wall down. And when we do, we can go right straight to the throne room of God. People say, and I've said this myself a whole lot of times, I can pray and it seems like my prayers, they get right here and they stop and then they'll fall back to the floor. That's what I feel sometimes. But it was because of the way that I prayed. Because of the way that I prayed. The way that I asked the Lord to do some things. It's just the way. That He was willing to do some things for me. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to do anything for me or you until we do something for Him first. We always think, well, we can pray and the Lord's going to answer our prayer. We always think about it, it's a one-way street. That's what we were saying. It's a one-way street. It's not a one-way street. It's a two-way. He saved us. Now it's up to me to come and ask Him what He wants me to do. It's up to me to go to Him in prayer and talk to Him. And I don't know if you've ever done it or not, but at home when I start praying, it takes me probably the first 10 or 15 minutes to get all the other junk out of my head. And then I get start talking to God. I start talking to Him and I start listening to what He's saying back to me. But the first 10 minutes or 15 minutes of it, starting out, is all the stuff that I've heard and different things like that. But I'm so thankful that He wants to hear from me.
I am thankful for that, that he wants to hear from me. I mean,
I'm thankful that I can go to him, and I can sit and I can talk to him. And he won't sit up and say, "Well, Don, you shut up. Leave me alone right now." He's not like that. He says, "I love you. I know that you love me because you're talking to me." Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this evening. Father, we thank you for the service we had tonight. Lord God, we thank you for your precious word. And Lord, I pray, God, that you just be with the people tonight. And Father, I ask, Lord, if it's anyone here tonight, Father, that needs to come forth and come to the altar, we ask, Father, that they will do exactly what you have spoken to them on the mount. And Father, we just want to love you today. Father, we pray, God, tomorrow, that each one of us can do something for thee. I pray, Father, for the strength. Then I pray for you touching my legs, the way I can be able to stand tonight. Lord, I pray, Father, that you continue to touch my legs and everything. And Lord, I pray for these people. I ask, Lord, help each one of them. We pray. Amen and amen.